Beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination.
Hello and welcome to Tooncast Beyond's Animation Direction Spotlight. I am one of your hosts, TFG1 Mike, and this is the 8th overall episode within this spotlight. It would have been 8 and then next week 9. Actually, it'll still be that way, but we are combining people because apparently there's not enough to talk about the two of them in two different episodes. And you can hear the snicker in the background. That, of course, is TV's Mr. Neil.
Guess who? I didn't want to do that.
Oh, come on.
Nobody does that good except for Mel Blanc.
That's very true. Oh, I'm sure some of the people today could pull off a good Woody. Mm. Wow, that came out so wrong.
Yep. gonna isolate that one and keep that for the record.
Oh, my God. Well, I cannot believe I just said that. Holy crap. Oh, man. All right, so originally episodes 7 and 8 in this 12-episode spotlight were going to be... Episode 7 was going to be Walter Lance. Episode 8 was going to be Ub Iwerks. And we are combining them into just episode 7. So basically we're removing one episode. Instead of 12 overall podcasts for this spotlight, it'll be 11. Next time around we'll be talking about William, Hannah, and Joseph Barbera. But for now, Walter Lance and Ub Iwerks. And every time I see Ub's last name, I wanna apple spell it with a lowercase I and a larger case W.
Damn you, Steve Jobs.
Why don't you take it away?
Well, I guess we're starting with Walter Lance.
Yep.
Okay, I'm just sitting here with the Wikipedia page open, so I don't really know a lot about him, except that he was the creator of Woody Woodpecker, and that's what he's primarily known for. He was working at Universal around the time that Walt Disney was there, and when Disney left, he took over, Oswald the Lucky Rabbit, and he created the panda character. I'm Andy Panda. There was like another panda character. I didn't want to get it mixed up, but Andy Panda. He created. I guess he created Woody based on his honeymoon. He was there was a woodpecker knocking on the roof or something, and he was gonna shoot the woodpecker, and his wife says, no, why don't you make a cartoon out of the character? And so that's what happened. And as has been pointed out by many other people, that Woody Woodpecker is basically just, he's Bugs Bunny, he's Daffy Duck, he's every other screwy character that ever existed. And wouldn't you know it, one of his primary writers was Bugs Ben Hardaway, who is also the one of the creators and has the name that became the impetus for Bugs Bunny. So yeah, Woody Woodpecker is kind of interesting because it's the Walter Lance Studio is kind of like a weird cross section of like Disney and Warner Brothers Studio at the time, because you have a lot of the same people. You had Bugs Hardaway. You had Carl Stalling on
the music.
On music, and then you have Walter Lance himself, who worked with Walt Disney and started out as a director and ultimately moved toward being producer and let other people take over. So again, we have another one of these guys who is not really known for being a director. Mm-hmm. So it's like Walt Disney, Walter Lance. What is it with Waltz? Woody Woodpecker went through a number of different eras. And I think my favorite era is the one that we primarily watched, which was the I already lost the guy's name. The director of Dick Lundy. The Dick Lundy era is probably the best one. It's like the most Disney-fied, and it's the most it's got like the most clean animation. Although the earlier ones are very funny too. Back when he was like really, really messed up, he was just this. he was basically early Bugs Bunny.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with Woody Woodpecker is that he was, in the beginning, like, they didn't have, like, it's kind of like perfecting a sculpture over time. Like with Bugs Bunny, in Bugs Bunny's beginnings, he wasn't what we know him to be, like the classic Bugs look. And neither was Woody in the beginning. He was really, really out there. I almost want to say Clampett. I know it's not, but it just, the one short you sent me that was early Woody, where he's in the tree and everybody's saying he's a screwball and whatever else. He looks like he's on some sort of Bob Clampett drug dream or something or other. It just, it's not the Woody I know and love. The voice is there, obviously, but the actual character design is it looks like somebody strung him out off of heroin. It really, really does.
I kind of like that Woody. He was just really mean, and that kind of made him funny. You're like, mm-hmm. You're crazy.
And that's another thing he and Bugs share, because Bugs was really mean in the beginning.
Oh yeah, Bugs was just cruel. And they even share the laugh, which I sent you.
Yeah.
Which Bugs only did that once, and when Mel went over to Walter Lantz's studio to do the first few Woody Woodpecker cartoons, he took the laugh with him. And ultimately, ironically, it was a Mel Blanc laugh, but Woody ended up inheriting it. Like, the one character that most of his career he did not voice is the one that has that signature laugh. And I sent Mike a few different sound clips, and you'll hear the slowed down Woody Woodpecker laugh, and it is clearly Mel Blanc.
You ass. Now I want to force you to listen to that Semper interview.
No. Can't make me. Yeah, so we're kind of talking about Walter Lantz here, but kind of not really, because I really, again, we have another one of these guys where I really don't know what to say about his directing talents, because I don't really, there's not really not a enough of it to really say anything, except to just kind of comment on like what Woody is. And
he did a lot of really cool Woody stuff, even just as a producer. I mean, okay, yeah, sure, the spotlight is called Animation Direction, and my original idea for it was people like Tex Avery, Bob Clampett, Bob McKimson. Obviously, we're going to get to Chuck Jones and Hannah and Barbera, but, I mean, Lantz he pioneered an entire characters franchise for the longest time.
Mm-hmm.
He's still behind the scenes. I mean, it's not like it was his voice as Woody, you know? Yeah.
But it was his wife for a while.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah, it was his wife. It was also, Ben Hardaway also did the voice for a long time. About 8 years. As long as he was in charge of the studio, the quality of the cartoons were pretty good. Later on, Paul J. Smith took over, and those are the ones from the 60s where it's definitely on the cheap. You know, the characters will be walking and you only see them from like the waist up, and they're kind of, and their idea of like making the characters look like they're walking is to just bob the saddle up and down. Like, what is this, Flash? The terrible, terrible Woody Woodpecker cartoons made in the 60s. But
I don't know of... You look at this era of animation from, let's say, the 20s to the, let's say, 50s, just to be safe. You look at that 30 years of animation. That 30 years is amazing. You hit 1960 and it all goes wobbly. It's like the top of the screen caving in on Daffy's little wooden plank he puts up there when you know, obviously the animator in Duck Amuck is screwing with him. Oh. And it's animation in the 60s was really weird.
Well, it was like people forgot how to make cartoons because mm-hmm. from like the 30s into the 40s, the way cartoons evolved was just like really fast. I mean, you went from these really simple musical cartoons to the Tex Averys and the Bob Clampets, where they're mm-hmm. they're like totally messing with the timing and being really abstract and just being balls to the walls, like we can do anything because we're not dealing with real life here. Whereas, you know, from like the 40s into the 50s, it was still quality animation, but it kind of stagnated. It was like this plateau of quality, and then it dipped into the 60s. Yeah. And I think part of that also is just that cartoons came to TV, and there was people weren't going to the theater as much, so you know, mm-hmm. really wasn't the budget there to make cartoons. So that's also why the Woody Woodpecker cartoons went down in quality. So I can't blame it all on Paul J. Smith, but his Woodies were kind of bad.
Now you pulled one.
Yeah. bad Woody.
Oh man, the pecker puns just keep flowing, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, we knew that was gonna come.
Oh, talk about a sticky situation.
Oh no.
Do you have a favorite Woody Woodpecker cartoon overall?
I'd have to really think about that. Because it's been years since I've seen like the full, mm-hmm. the full archive of them. Because you know they just don't run them in syndication anymore. Probably like the one of the ones that I liked was like the one that I sent you, where it's like winter comes and he has to and he's starving and there's like all these funny gags in it, like. The title card says something like death is staring him in the face, and it shoots a shot to Woody where he's like at the table and there's this ghost apparition of death just kind of staring him down. and there's a cat comes to the door, and like the cat wants to eat the woodpecker, but like Woody also wants to eat the cat. There's a joke about pussies that I want to make there, but I'm not going to. But anyway, a moose comes to the door for some reason, and they really, really dark. They chase after the moose and they eat the moose, and mm-hmm. then they're yeah. So that's another thing, is the Woody Woodpecker cartoons are. I don't want to say that they're strangely dark, but there's something off about them. Like there's gags in them that I don't even notice in like Warner Brothers cartoons, where there's. I swear, every single cartoon that I watched today, someone was smoking. And that's not a dark thing, but that is a thing that you don't see in cartoons anymore. That's like if Johnny Bravo today lit up a joint or something. I don't know.
You mean he didn't already?
Well, I think the people behind the scenes did. But,
man.
Yeah, it's like, because Woody Woodpecker has like fallen out of the public limelight, so... A lot of his cartoons aren't as censored as the Looney Tunes. So what we have on YouTube and all over the internet is basically the uncensored Woody Woodpecker cartoons that are, you know, kind of stand out because of that.
I don't know why they don't release a DVD of these classic cartoons. Probably because they are uncensored and they'd have to go back and.
Well, they don't have to censor them. They could just say, "Hey, you know, these are not for kids." You know, there are.
Oh God! It reminds me of, and we'll talk about this when we talk about Mel and when we talk about Chuck Jones. But it reminds me of the Looney Tunes Golden Collection DVD sets, Volume 3. You put the first disc in. Lo and behold, Whoopi Goldberg shows up and says exactly what you're saying. Like, you know. These were, you know, cartoons made for adults, and, you know, back then we didn't look at the humor the same way we do now, but I'm like, oh my God, seriously, Whoopi Goldberg and a PSA for Looney Tunes.
Yeah, Whoopi Goldberg, nothing against her, but she is kind of a killjoy. She's not the kind of person I would associate with Warner Brothers cartoons.
You know, as I was going through this, I was going through Walter's IMDb, and between producing and directing, I had mentioned this to you off air, his very first short was something in 1918 as a director. Mm-hmm. Between 1918 between 1918 and 1929 is when he switched over to being a producer. 1918 to 1982, when he kind of pretty much stopped and retired. 64-something years in animation.
That's crazy.
For both hats. That's longevity, ladies and gentlemen. You don't get that kind of... You don't get that kind of job security nowadays in cartoons. You just don't.
I mean, I think the only people who have him beat are obviously Will Hanna and Joe Barbera.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Them and...
possibly Chuck Jones, but Chuck Jones was in and out of retirement.
Yeah. So. And I mean, you really can't count this, but I'm still going to count it anyway. Mel's been in, was in it for the longest time. Mm-hmm. I think Mel by far is the longest one out of everybody, even though he's a voice actor and not, you know, director, producer, whatever. Still, he's the guy that, you know, crafted the sounds and, you know, put the jokes that were on paper to good use. Mm-hmm. With all the characters he ever did. We'll have a full episode on Mel. Let's take a quick break. We're going to transition into Ub Iwerks. I hope I said his name right.
I think it's Ub. I don't know.
Ub, Ub.
Both sound weird.
Yeah. It's a weird name. So we'll be back after this.
Guess who?
It's action. It's drama. It's comedy. It's DeCian, the superhero webcomic. DeCian's got superhero antics and sexy girls. Read it now at DeCian.com. DASIEN.com.
Guess who?
All right, it is now time for Mr. Iwerks. Still a very weird name.
Yes.
He was a 2-time Academy Award winning American animator, cartoonist, character designer, inventor, and special effects technician, who co-created Oswald the Lucky Rabbit and Mickey Mouse with Walt Disney. Oh, man. He's got an interesting career.
Yes.
Why is it that you suggested him for this spotlight?
Because
this was something that you suggested.
Because he's like an animator's animator. He's not really known to the casual fan, but like you ask any animator, like who's one of your inspirations, and they will mention Ub Iwerks. And in a way, I can kind of see that because I didn't realize until recently that he didn't do all of his work at Disney. He worked at other studios as well. If you look at what he did, I mean, that's really advanced animation for the 30s.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I mean, really, he has a really interesting, almost 3D-esque quality to his animation. I mean, obviously it's not 3D. They didn't have CG back then, duh. But, you know, it looked like the characters that he created filled space. Like, you could turn them around, whereas, like, you know, Fred Flintstone, you got to admit that, you know, that character design only works in 2 dimensions. You can't, you have to kind of cheat to turn his head. Whereas, like, the Ub Iwerks characters, they look like they have volume to them, which is a quality that I attributed that to Bob Clampett as well. And Chuck Jones also has that quality. But, yeah, I can't say that I enjoy – God, this is terrible. I can't say that I enjoyed the cartoons that I watched, because they are 1930s cartoons, and they kind of – you know, suffer from the we don't understand this medium just yet.
Honestly, other than Steamboat, Steamboat Willie, the cartoons he was doing were just out there. I mean, they really were. He really doesn't have, like, he didn't do any work with any of the classic cartoon characters we know.
Yeah.
Didn't do anything with Woody Woodpecker, didn't do anything with Bugs, Daffy, any of them, didn't do anything with Pink Panther, or any of his side characters, this was a guy who was creating cartoons that were, I don't want to say it the way it's going to come out. He was creating original cartoons.
Yeah.
But, I mean, let's be honest, all of these characters, when they started, were original. I mean, you know, there was nothing before the golden age of animation.
But his cartoons are kind of like tech demo cartoons. It's like, look at this really interesting stuff that we're doing, and wow, how the hell are we even doing this? And, oh, by the way, there's no plot. But there's, you know, he did some work at, like, the major studios. I mean, he did a couple of the Porky Pig cartoons. I mean, you don't remember them because they were also the ones with Gabby Goat, and who likes Gabby Goat? And I mean, seriously, that character. But anyway, his cartoons, he's a really, really good animator for the 30s. He's a really good animator for today. Let's just say that. I mean, you don't see animation like this today. Just, what was it, like Balloon Land or something?
Yeah. That, Balloon Land.
I'm looking at this, I'm like, wow, this is really interesting in how they animated it. But it's like, I don't know what's going on. Just very, very strange. And it's, yeah, like I said, this is from the era of, like, we don't understand this medium. So it's a lot of, like, we sync these cartoons up to music, and these aren't really jokes that are going on, except for, like, the occasional, you know, skeleton that, like, does the xylophone thing on the ribs or something like that. But yeah, but you got to give this guy a technical credit, just because if it were not for this guy, early Disney would have been completely different.
Mm-hmm.
And
it would have been, I mean, I'm not discounting his work. I'm just saying that his work is like, I mean, I expected him to do, like I had already mentioned, you know, stuff on, you know, Bugs and all them, and have his own directing style for that, which obviously we know he didn't do. And then I watched a lot of these, and I'm like, okay, outside of the Steamboat Willie cartoon, which we all know is Mickey Mouse's origin,
mm-hmm.
There's no real character. Like, he didn't, like, try to come up with a character.
Yeah,
and have whomever, whether it was Mel Blanc, whether it was whoever it was back then, put a voice to that character. Like, he didn't try to come up with one or two characters. Like, he just came up with all of these characters that are pretty much nondescript, no-name characters. The cartoons were funny. They didn't, like, offend me or anything.
Oh,
the animation is wonderful. You know, the animation is wonderful. The gags are right. I mean, like, they're funny, but they're, again, it was one of those weird kind of gags. I'm more so, for me personally, as far as my golden age cartoon watching, I'm more into, like, you know, Tom and Jerry and, you know, Bugs and all those Looney Tunes, and obviously a lot of the classic, you know, Disney stuff, like Mickey, Goofy, and Donald and that kind of stuff. And these were just like, it's kind of like when you watch a movie and you just can't get in tune with the protagonist or the antagonist. And it's just like, it's just there. It's like, why did I waste the last 2 hours of my life and $10 to see this movie? Not saying that Iwerks' cartoons are bad. I'm not saying that at all. It just, there was nothing that I could grasp while watching them.
Like I said, it's much more tech demo-y. It's like, watching Skeleton Frolics, I mean, I wasn't really watching the cartoon for the plot. I was just kind of like looking at, like, how he's doing the color. And because that cartoon, what you normally see in cartoons, even in the 30s and 40s, is you see a lot of color, like, oh, skies are blue, grass is green, blah, blah, blah. In in this cartoon, there was a lot of black. Like, it was almost like a comic book. How you know, you have all this heavy inking everywhere. It's very unusual. You don't. In fact, I can't think of another director that does that except for the guy who did Fritz the Cat, and I'm blanking on his name for some reason, and he's a well-known animator. God damn it, people are gonna send me hate mail. Yeah, he's like Wizards. Wizards is like the only other cartoon that I can really think of that does that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just kind of weird to watch it because of that. And he did a couple cartoons for Warner Brothers. He also did cartoons for MGM, like this one Flip the Frog, mm-hmm. which is I guess their first sound cartoon, and it has a character that is might as well just be called Plagiarismo the Mouse, because my God, it's Mickey. And again, it's another one of these, hey, let's do a musical cartoon, because you know what else is there to do?
Mm.
Because Bob Clampett didn't have his epiphany yet.
Yeah, no.
And the last thing about Steamboat Willie is just it's another one that doesn't have a plot, really. It's just like, hey, Mickey's piloting a boat, and along comes Black Pete and yells at him for some reason, and then they just play a song for 6 minutes. Mm-hmm. And Mickey is not the Mickey we know in this. It's just him being cruel to animals and doing all these weird, admittedly very funny gags. I'm not complaining about animal cruelty. Don't think I'm doing that. But my favorite one is where he grabs the cat by the tail and he starts swinging it around. I never realized how funny this cartoon was. So yeah, that's probably like, in terms of humor, that's probably the best one.
Yeah. I was just looking on his Wikipedia thing here. And apparently, next year they're gonna release a film about him.
Oh, interesting!
It's Walt Before Mickey. I just so weird. Walt Before Mickey is about Walt Disney and his early beginnings in Marceline, Missouri. Story follows his poor beginnings and eventual move to Kansas City, where he created his first animation studio, Laugh-O-Gram Studio. There he hired Rudy Ising, played by David Henry. Oh man, if that's the same, oh my God, they got the kid from Wizards of Waverly Place to play Rudy Ising. That's so wrong. I'm sorry. That's so wrong. And Up Iwerks, played by Armando Gutierrez, to help start his business. Walt had various minor successes, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, what's really crazy about this thing, and what's really... oh my God. The cast in this is nuts. They've got David Henry, who, as I said, was David, Justin on Wizards of Waverly Place, which is a Disney Channel show. And they've got Mr. Rookie of the Year himself, Thomas Ian Nicholas, as Walt Disney. What the hell?
Wow.
Jodie Sweetin, the middle Tanner child from Full House, is playing Charlotte Disney. Oh my God. Oh God. I don't know what to think about this.
Should be interesting. Just like I said, he's kind of unknown, and he should have a little more attention, I think, but
yeah. No. I'm not saying that. Yeah, I'm not saying that he shouldn't have more time. I'm just saying, like, as soon as I saw this on his page and then clicked on it and looked at it, I'm like, this is just so weird. Like, Tom Hanks is a better Walt Disney than Thomas Ian Nicholas.
Yeah, but if you're going to do Walt Disney in his early 20s, Tom Hanks is not the guy you're going to cast.
No. You can cast his son, but not him. But yeah, the film is based on the book of the same name, Walt Before Mickey, written by Timothy Susannan and Diane Disney Miller, Walt Disney's daughter. The book was published by the University of Mississippi. The original title of the movie was named The Dreamer, which was written by Arthur L. Bernstein and Armando Gutierrez. It looks interesting. It's probably going to be more interesting to me than the other Disney movie that they put out about Mary Poppins this year or last year, whatever the hell that was. God, what the hell's the name of that stupid movie?
Saving Mr. Banks.
Yes, thank you. And I don't mean, for the listeners, I don't mean stupid movie and as in, oh my God, that movie is so stupid. I just never had any interest to see it. I'll be honest, I've never been a fan of Mary Poppins. Like, once I hit 13, I'm like, Mary Poppins who? You know? But Walter Lantz, Ub Iwerks, or however you say his name, they're two, I want to say lesser known giants in animation,
yeah,
but I don't know if that's proper.
Well, one was almost never known, and the other one, Walter Lantz, is just was known, and then he kind of fell off into the abyss somewhere. Because, you know, Woody Woodpecker is not a cartoon that we see a lot these days.
Nope. It's not on Boomerang. It's not on Cartoon Network. It's not, you know, it's not anywhere.
Yeah, Comcast and Universal is basically hoarding him for some reason. I don't know why. It's like, why don't you just sell it to Disney? I mean, you sold him Oswald the Lucky Rabbit. Just sell him everything else. But Ralph Bakshi was the animator I was thinking of earlier, which is a pretty good comparison to Ub Iwerks, I think. Because they're both really experimental, except for, you know, Ub didn't use a lot of the stock footage that Ralph Bakshi is kind of maligned for. And, you know, I kind of had this theory, kind of going off topic here for a sec, is that in Dragon Ball Z, there's a character called, there are three characters called Bibbidi, Bobbidi, and Boo. And of course, we know what the genesis of that is automatically.
Uh-huh.
But then there's a point in the cartoon where the character Evil Boo is reincarnated as a character named Oob. And I've always wondered, and I'll probably never get a confirmation if that was a nod to Ub Iwerks.
Could be.
It could be. Because, you know, Boo is Oob spelled backwards, and it's just kind of a weird coincidence that would happen. So, I don't know.
I don't know. So, next time around here in the Animation Direction Spotlight, we're going to hit... We're going to be hitting the big time, because the next time we chat, I believe, let me see if I have this correct. The next time we are going to, next time we're going to be hitting the big HB. We're going to be hitting William Hanna and Joseph Barbera. So that's going to
have a lot of ground to cover there.
Oh, yeah. Oh man, do you have, if you could narrow it down, and I know I'm throwing you under the bus here, if you could narrow it down, what is your favorite Hanna-Barbera character? One favorite character out of all of them.
That's a tough one. I don't know if it is Yogi Bear, but it's probably going to be in that era, because I love the 60s Hanna-Barbera cartoons so much, and I know people hate them. But I absolutely love them. I love the Flintstones. I love the early Jetsons.
For me, I don't want to cheat, but I'm going to. Augie Doggie and Doggie Daddy.
That's not cheating.
I love those characters.
Son, oh, son of mine.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right, well, that's going to do it for us here on Tooncast Beyond's Animation Direction Spotlight. What have you got coming up on Animation Aficionados to see and anything else you're working on?
Animation Aficionados, we have Attack on Titan. We have an episode recorded but not edited in any way, so that might be a couple weeks yet. We have another episode coming up on the anime Fairy Tail, which is a very adorable anime that I have not watched yet, so I'm going to cruise through about like 6 or 7 episodes and just give it a synopsis off of that. And on Decian, I have the Decian holiday special running right now, which is, I'm going to say it's going to be almost every day in December and almost every day in January and possibly part of February. Because it's getting huge, because I've got like, somehow I was lucky enough that a couple people came forward and like, hey, I'd like to submit a couple of cartoons. I'm like, okay. And some guy came up with like a 30-page comic. I'm like, all right. So yeah, there's a Christmas episode that's going to be part of that, and that's going to be like in the month of December, and then like it's just going to keep going after that. So a lot of stuff coming.
It's Christmas all year long.
It's going to be, or I guess the holiday special is also going to encompass Groundhog Day. But there will not be a Groundhog Day special, so.
Come on. We'll just Decian fighting Puxatawny Phil. That would be amazing.
I could do an episode that's kind of like that, just where she keeps reliving the same day over and over. That would be kind of funny, but.
Or she keeps reliving the same day over and over and over again, remarrying Bill Murray every single time.
Oh, no. until she realizes that she loves another character, but I'm not going to. Well, you could probably guess out there if you read it.
That's funny. That's so funny. All right, that's going to do it for us this time around. Lately, the episodes have been a little infrequent. We've had them produced. I just haven't edited them. Latest one that went up was Bill Melendez, which this one will go up this coming Wednesday, the 10th of December. Still, it's just I've been running into a lot of crap with my personal life, and it just... On top of that, I don't exactly have a most comfortable chair to sit in to record and edit and whatever else. So my days of sitting here at the computer like 6-7 hours straight, not happening. But this will be out, and then we'll do Hanna-Barbera, Mel Blanc, and Chuck Jones. So that'll be kind of your all's Christmas present for this year. And then next year for Tooncast Beyond, I mentioned this a couple episodes ago. I'm toying with changing up how Tooncast Beyond is brought to you people. Right now, we're in the season format where we pick a certain genre, say Pixar films, or, well, you heard Neil and I and a lot of other people in Sketch 1984 and stuff in the DreamWorks Spotlight. I tell you, that DreamWorks Spotlight nearly killed me. That's why we didn't have a hell of a lot of Tooncast Beyond episodes between then and what we're doing now with the animation direction. I was just, fucking Katzenberg just killed me on some of those horrible DreamWorks movies. So I'm trying to figure out a way to... I think I might put Tooncast Beyond in a more of a grab bag kind of thing where you would still get a weekly episode, but it would be of various cartoon series or animated film or that kind of thing. I do know we are going to be doing the Gargoyles episode. And when I say we, I don't know if it's going to be you on it or not, or if it's going to be somebody. We in general. I'm toying with the notion, because it's the only anime that's in English that I know, and I know you're going to cringe at this. I'm toying with the notion of doing a Yu-Gi-Oh! Episode.
Oh, my God. I give you so many recommendations, you go with Yu-Gi-Oh. I mean, I at least give you the one that have the hot girls in them.
Well, mine's fairly hot.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Space bikinis. Dirty Pair has space bikinis.
Is it in English?
Some of it is.
If it's not 95% English, then...
Well, it's not like it's a continuous story. I mean, we're talking like movies and a couple episodes that are in English, and then like the rest of it is. So you're not going to be missing anything by not seeing all of it.
Yeah, Tooncast and Tooncast Classic and Tooncast Beyond, I never, because anime just isn't my thing. Yeah. In general, overall, I have nothing against it, as I've said many times before in my 6-7 years of podcasting. Like, the whole point of this show is kind of like classic cartoons. And I know Yu-Gi-Oh! Technically isn't really classic, but as the years go by and anniversaries come, I mean, that damn show is 20 years old now.
Oh my God. I want to barf.
Oh, man. And honestly, it's the only, outside of the actual Magic the Gathering, it's the only card game that I would ever actually play if I was into that card game stuff. Because I can't get into the Pokemon stuff.
No.
I just can't. So, all right, folks. Email me, tfgmike@gmail.com. Let me know if you as a listener want us to continue on the season path, which season 3 I think is going to be Disney films. I'm not exactly sure, but that's what we used to have on the schedule. Or if you want it to become a more of a grab bag kind of thing, like you never know what you're going to get, Forrest Gump kind of thing, where you get a new episode, different episode every week. So let me know. tftwithmike@gmail.com. Put in the subject line, Tooncast Beyond Future. So there you go. Keep watching those cartoons, and we will catch you next time.